Your Highness, what are we gonna do if those little Italian men keep destroying your kingdom? You aren't gonna have anywhere to bring the princess back to.
I know.
Yeah.
I need someone to rebuild my kingdom. But who?
King Koopa, may I suggest someone?
Go ahead.
How about Patriot Paint and Construction?
What?
Yes, they actually rebuild the Mushroom Kingdom every time you destroy it.
How can I reach them?
Simply call 806-544-7199. They are insured and bonded and have been in business for more than 14 years.
Now there is no stopping me.
John Eric.
Okay, here we go.
All you ladies, pull your chi-chis out. This is the JP Lopez Show. Also, if you're a transgender, pull your pecker out. This is the JP Lopez Show.
What is up? Thank you for tuning back into the JP Lopez Show. I got Chris Martinez back on the show. Unfortunately, he's not in the fucking studio, but he's on the show. We're going to try to work something new. I've never done this before, but we got a, I guess like a radio, not a radio, a call-in type shit. So let's test it out, see what that's all about. What's up, Chris?
What's going on, man? Thanks for having me on. Sorry I couldn't make it into the John Eric Media Studios, but you got me on the hotline like Pretty Ricky, so we'll see how that goes.
Dude, it's been a fucking upgrade in here, bro, since you last been in here. It's pretty fucking sweet, man.
I've seen your videos. Like every Wednesday when you get the video up, I always look, and I was like, damn, it looks nice. It's a totally different area.
Yeah, got a whole flat screen on the TV, on the wall with the... It's supposed to flash like our logos and shit, but I record the opposite way. I think that I piss them off. I think they're pissed off. Like this dumb.
I'm just checking to make sure it works. It works. Y'all hooked it up right.
You always see Mortal Kombat and Ninja Turtles and shit in the background.
What's that shit? Who's watching Care Bears? Right? Lay off the Care Bears. That's funny.
How's that fucking heat, man? Y'all had some horrific fucking weather lately, haven't y'all?
And not
like just like last week, but like fucking all month.
It's weird here. It's like one thing I told my wife that I noticed is like every Thursday there's always a severe like thunderstorm and there's the tornadoes and shit, and it's every Thursday. It never fails because when I get off work, I come home and I change and I get ready to go to the gym. Then I have to like check the weather to make sure there's not like hailing or, you know, tornado possibilities and all this other. It's weird. I don't know. I guess because the area I live in is like considered like Tornado Alley.
Oh, damn. So, you live in Tornado Alley?
Yeah, I guess it's part of it. It's North Texas or North Dallas.
So I didn't know that. Damn, dude. That's fucking dangerous.
Hell yeah. Well, it's bad and it's kind of good in a way. Well, it used to be good for me because, before we moved into our house, we used to live in an apartment and we didn't have like covered parking. So it never failed every summer. It was like hail like crazy. So we have all this hail damage on our car and we just like file an insurance claim. Yeah. We file an insurance claim and then like get a brand new car. So it was like for a stretch there for like, I would say a good 3 or 4 years, like it would hail, it would damage our car and then we would do an insurance claim and get a new car. That's how bad it would be.
You know what's so fucked up about insurance, man, is there was a couple years here in town where it hailed like a motherfucker, bro. So I think like 3 consecutive years, the wife and I claimed hail damage on our cars. And then, I don't know, a couple years later, like State Farm got ridiculously expensive. So I was shopping around for different quotes and... When you shop around, you got to give them your fucking everything, dude. Fucking everything. Yeah. They ask like a gazillion questions. And then they come back to you and they're like, Well, they give you this more expensive quote than fucking State Farm was giving me, and I was like, what the fuck? And they were like, well, it's so high because you claim, I guess, there's lots of claims on your policy already. And I'm like, it's fucking hail damage. Like,
what the fuck? Like, that's the whole point. Yeah. What's the point of having insurance if you can't fucking use it?
No shit, man. And I was like, y'all are coming back to me, giving me quotes like I'm fucking doing fraud insurance type shit. I'm like, it's fucking right. Hail damage, man. Shit. So yeah, I got pissed off, and
that's a crazy thing, man.
No shit, man. Fucking putos.
Anyway, try and take your money whichever way they can, you know. And if you do too many claims, they'll drop your ass. I think they did that one time with us. We had a couple of claims that were like too close together or something. And they're like, well, if you have another claim, we're gonna have to drop you.
Fucking A. No, I've never done whatever. That. Sorry, fucks.
Whatever. But yeah, I mean, living in a bigger city, you like it's a higher chance of like getting into like car wrecks and stuff and just stuff happening to your car. So I mean, you think they take that into consideration.
You still work in Dallas though?
I work north of Dallas. I work in Plano.
Oh, okay.
And I never worked like in Dallas. My wife had. She used to when we first moved here, she worked like in downtown Dallas.
Like, so she would take the train, right?
Yeah. Initially, she would drive. We would both drive to work, but her drive was a little bit more crazy. So she was like, screw that, because it takes like an hour to get to work and an hour to get home. So she kind of like got familiar with like the train system here. And she would just take the train. And
that's fast as shit.
Park at it. Yeah, it is, but it's also like, it's full of like crazy fucks and like druggies and so weirdos
it's
and shit.
It's like the New York subway and shit.
Yeah, it is, man. It's like you'll be sitting there and just some random ass person will come in like drunk or high or smelling like shit or whatever. And you're just like, what the fuck, man? I got to sit next to this asshole.
The most what the fuck experience that I've ever had was in a subway in Boston. I was like, what the fuck? Like, I'm going to live here for 5 months? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I can imagine, especially in Boston. You
know, like, this is how I'm going to have to get to work. Fuck this.
Right? Let me borrow your mongoose. I'll take a bike to work. Shit.
Dude, living in Boston, check this out. Working in Boston, you drive and pay the toll booth. I think the toll booth, this was like 2007, so the toll booth was like $2. Mm-hmm. Then you get into the city. Well, you have to pay another toll to get into the city, which I think that was like $5. And then parking anywhere was like $30.
Jeez.
And then, let's just say you were going to a bar. Well, bars over there have cover charge, so then you're paying another $30. You're almost down $100, and you haven't even had a fucking drink yet, man. And you just parked your car and walked in.
Jeez, I better get laid tonight.
Like,
and this better be worth it.
This was in 07, bro. I couldn't imagine how much that shit costs now, man.
Yeah, it's a finesse, dude. Like, I mean, I have to take a tollway to work. I mean, I don't have to. I can drive like the regular roads, but it takes forever, and I get frustrated with driving like in the inner city. So, I take the tollway to work, and it can the charge to like get on and then to get off.
But you have that sticker on your windshield, right?
Yeah, it's called a toll tag.
Yeah,
and you just put money on it. But sometimes sometimes you forget to put money on it. I'm not gonna lie, like there's times where I like forget and I look and my toll like $100, $200, $300.
God,
I'm like,
shit. For the month.
Yeah, dude, it gets stupid because everywhere you drive, it's easy to take the tollway because it's fast, and it piles up. You have to watch like where you're going.
Well, how much are you paying really worth for it, fast man? Though?
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah. Fuck right? That. Yeah, man. I don't know what it is, but as I've become a little older with age, I'm getting a lot more cheaper and cheaper.
Oh yeah,
I'm getting like a lot more tight-assed as I've never been in my life. Because in my life, I was just like, yeah, fuck it, I got it, let's buy it. But now I'm like, nah, do I really need that shit?
Exactly. Yeah. That's totally me, man. Like, I'll be looking at shoes or like caps or whatever. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to buy this shit. I'm going to buy it. And then when it comes to checkout, I look at the total. I'm like, do I really need this shit? Like, do I really need another pair of shoes?
$5.99 for shipping. Fuck that.
Exactly. $8.
Fuck that.
$30.
I go to Lids.
I don't need it.
I go to Lids a lot, and I bought that Father's Day hat, and it automatically, it fucks you because if you don't pay attention, it automatically chooses the $17 shipping, the 2-day shipping.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So when you're checking out, you're like, what the fuck? My hat was only like $40 and it's like 60 something. And then you look at the shipping and it's the $17 shipping. You're like, motherfucker.
Yeah, that's a pain in the ass shipping. It's like there's so many options. And if you don't pick the right one, you're paying like almost the same amount you're paying for the product.
It's
paying in shipping.
It's a finesse, bro. It really is.
Yep.
But
that's crazy.
I wanted to, because you know summer for the kids is here, so summer school is starting. You never took summer school, right?
I know you and I took
summer school, the high school class in English, but I'm talking like elementary. Like you never took summer school, right?
No. I didn't go.
Yeah, I don't remember you taking summer school, but. You know, we were always like, man, bro, most of our young adult lives, we've spent pretty much every fucking day together.
Yeah, yeah. People, I mean, if you didn't know us, you probably thought we were fucking dating. I would go to your house and not come out of your house.
Look at those homos.
I wouldn't come out of your fucking bedroom. Two fags. Two Mexican queers.
Look at those homos.
Oh, this is for Pride Month. Speaking for Pride Month, we're talking about.
We were talking about my dad, and I think Jacob was like, yeah, I think Pete thought every one of JP's friends were gay. And I was like, dude, my dad thought like the whole world was gay. And and Domingo was like, yeah, your dad was ahead of his time.
Right, you could see the future. Sure enough could. Yeah, summer was like, and it's funny you bring up summer too, because the other day, I was at the gym, and I left. I went late, so I got out late. It was like 9 o'clock maybe when I left, and I was walking out of the gym, and it was just, like, so nice outside, and I was like, damn, I miss like, the summers when you didn't have to, like, go to work or do shit. You know, we just go hang out with your friends or go to parties and like, enjoy being young. So it's kind of a...
The summers where we were on the fucking blacktop all fucking day.
Oh, yeah.
Especially in the evening when everyone was showing up to play basketball. It was like enough for like 20 teams and shit.
Some dirty ass black tops. So that time you're done playing, you look like you had gloves on. Like that's just dirt.
I'll never
from the basketball.
I'll never forget when you invited me to go play basketball with your uncles. And it was you and your cousins and then your uncles, and y'all were all beating the fuck up, like just slapping the shit out of your uncle in his stomach and his ass. I was like, what the fuck are y'all doing?
Yeah. Well, like, I have a set of
uncles. He's all dribbling and shit. Yeah. Little ass kids are just slapping his stomach like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I had this one uncle that I guess he was kind of like the one that we all kind of messed with, or not picked on, but
he was just too easy.
Like, we're more comfortable. Yeah, it was too easy.
Just too easy to fuck with.
He was too easy to mess with, but it was all in good fun. Like he knew it was like bullshit or whatever. But yeah, we used to do that to him all the time. This one time, I remember, we were playing basketball in my grandma's backyard, and that uncle showed up, and he had this purple t-shirt on. And as soon as he walked outside, like, everyone started laughing at him. They're like, what are you doing that purple t-shirt on? You look like fucking Barney, blah, blah. So we start playing basketball. He's like, hey, let's play basketball. So we play, and he takes his shirt off. We're on the ground. I don't know how this ended up there, but on the ground, there's like this little rubber starfish. Like almost like for a baby, something a baby would chew on whenever they're like teething.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And so my brother picked it up, and when he was shooting the ball, he just chunked the shit out of it, and it like landed like right on his stomach, and it fell. And the rest of the afternoon, he had this imprint of a starfish on his stomach. It would not go away. It was hilarious. It's just like That's some summertime shit.
Were you with me when that old ass was playing basketball on the blacktop with us, and he was all, oh, my Elvis pelvis.
Yeah, I think I was. I remember hearing that.
We were like, what?
Some random ass peoples. Funny about the blacktop stuff. So I have a story for you. Do you remember that guy we used to call John Candy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, John DeLeon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this one, it was like a random day, and one of my uncles was at my grandma's house. He's like, hey, you want to go shoot some hoops? And I was like, yeah, we can go. So we were walking, and it was just me and him, like, shooting at the blacktop at my quarter. And then here, you can see here comes John Candy walking with his ball and his J's and his Jordan jersey, and, you know, he's fitted up, and so he goes over to us and he sits down. And he's just watching us play, and he's like, "Hey, can I play?" And Mongo's like, "He goes, not yet." He goes, "We're in the middle of a game, so we're dicking around. We're not even like trying to, like, no one's trying to win. We're just bullshitting." And then he looks at his watch and he's like, "Man," he goes, "y'all taking forever." He goes, "I'm missing Tiny Toons right now." Mongo goes, "If you're missing Tiny Toons, just look down your pants." And oh. Not stop laughing. Oh shit, dude. That had me rolling. He was like, oh man, fuck y'all. I'm just laughing.
Oh fucking A. anyone can get it on the blacktop, bro. Anyone.
Yeah, oh yeah, man. You had some good times on that blacktop. It's not there anymore, is it? It's gone, right?
No, they put barracks there, but they still got a blacktop.
Okay,
man, cool. We spent fucking hours and hours at that fucking school, dude, playing football or fucking on the blacktop playing basketball.
Yeah, but, what?
I was just gonna say, like, how, you know, summertime's approaching. Like, dude, we played. Oh, we were outside a lot, but we played hours upon hours of fucking video games, bro.
Oh man,
do you remember Montana football?
Yeah.
On the Sega.
That game was insane. And then that damn game, that fucking game you stole from Mike Zamora, dude. The wrestling one. You don't know how long we played that fucking game? Like, what was it, WrestleMania or something? It was like a little shitty, cheesy-ass game.
I didn't steal no game from Mike Zamora.
Well, you borrowed. Okay, you allegedly stole it. You borrowed it permanently. You're a permanent borrower of that game. Because you never gave it back, asshole. He kept asking you for it. Hey, JP, you got my game? What game? What fucking game? What? Nah, I got you. Dude, oh, shit, man.
What game was it? I don't even remember.
It was the WrestleMania one. The one where they're like, they make all these funny noises and they hit each other with chairs and
it was all Sega, kinds of shit. It was a Sega game?
Yeah, it was a Sega game. Okay. Because you just randomly borrowed it from him. You're like, hey, I borrowed this from Mike. Let's play it. I was like, all right, cool. We start playing and we're just like, we're having a ball, dude. We're laughing at, I mean, we're laughing to tears at this damn game because it's so freaking funny. And we're just like playing the shit out of it like every day. And then I remember him asking you for it in junior high. He's like, hey, JP, you have that game? And you're like, what game? He's like, the one I let you borrow. And you're like, I gave that back to you. And then after that, you never heard anything more about it. I guess he just took the L, you know?
He's like, I'm not getting that fucking like, game back.
Just so long. They weren't that expensive back then.
Oh shit, man. That's funny. I don't even remember that, man.
I will never forget that, dude.
To be honest with you, I don't even remember being that cool with Mike Zamora that he would let me borrow a game.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. I was like, I don't think you ever like really spoken more than five words to that kid. And he let me borrow a game.
Do you remember playing? I brought up that Joe Montana football because, you know, we were good at it, man. We were fucking good at it. So do you remember playing San Juan and he would get so mad because he would think that we were freezing him? Yeah. He was like, stop freezing me.
You're not freezing me. You just fucking suck. But you have to say it in a polite way or you kick your ass, you know? Like, you suck at this game, kind of. Don't get looking my ass.
Oh, fucking.
Oh, yeah, we played a shit out of some video games, bro. Like, that was, I think, honestly, if you think about it, that video game kind of like helped us out from like getting in trouble and all kinds of random shit.
Because we still got in
trouble.
Who
knows what we. Yeah, but it wasn't like going to jail trouble, you know? He wasn't getting, you know, curfew tickets and shit troubles.
I remember Grand Theft Auto, when it became real popular, was like on part 3, wasn't it? Do you remember?
I think so.
I think
it was 3, 3 or 2.
It might have been 3. I never gave two shits about that Grand Theft Auto game. And then we went to a house party with Noah. And somebody just left it out in the open. And I was like, oh, cool. And I put it in my pocket. And then I don't remember, like, I think I came home that night from the party and put it on. And then it was just addicting as fuck. And then I remember calling him and be like, hey, man, I got this new Grand Theft Auto. And then we put hours upon hours in that motherfucker, too.
And see, the funny thing, too, is, like, I really didn't know how to play that. Like, I didn't really care to go off the storyline. I just like fucking around, like, you know, doing the stupid shit on the game. But I could care less for the storyline or making it to the final part. You know? punching cops and stabbing people. And just, if you ran around for a while, everybody forgot and stuff like that. Yeah.
You're like, who the fuck makes a game where you fuck hookers? Like,
I don't know. It was a good, what a good time to be alive, you know.
Little did we know what was coming, fucking in the later years.
Exactly,
shit,
right? Exactly. If we would have known, we probably would have enjoyed it more, appreciated it more.
Yeah, but that's, we're funny, all fighting, man, cops and banging hookers, and yeah, you're right. I don't think we ever played the storyline on that shit.
Stealing cars, and we're kind of living out things we wish we could do, you know.
You know, I really never was. I never called myself a fucking thief, but I did steal those two video games. The one I don't remember from Mike Zamora, but I stole that fucking Grand Theft Auto. I didn't think they would miss it either, man. They had like a fuck ton of weed and shit on the table, and it was just like mixed in with all like the weed residue, and I just picked it up, put it in my pocket. I was like, well, I know this is new. I'm going to take it home.
Yeah, fuck it. They're potheads. They won't remember anyways.
But Super Nintendo, or I'm lying. Nintendo 64, bro. I think that defined a whole bunch of get-togethers at my house, because we had parties for NWO, WCW. It was kind of like our crew versus your crew type shit. People would come over and then we'd have GoldenEye parties and shit, because the four person split screen, and then you finished the damn Ken Griffey Jr. game without me.
I got all the cheat codes, that damn thing,
fucker.
that was like probably the best baseball game I've ever played in my life.
I know, man. That Ken Griffey baseball game was the shit, man.
Yes, sir. That was a good game. Yeah, it was kind of cool, especially like the wrestling games, because I mean, we would only just, like, at first we would only play each other, and then like when we get with Jerome and them guys, it's like, wow, these guys can actually play too. They weren't like some, you know.
And it was just a bunch of shit talking, man. I was surprised that, like, a real fight never broke out from that shit.
Yes, yeah. The racial tension was built up in those rooms. Needless to say, there was a little bit of racial tension.
It was the blacks versus the Mexicans.
Blood in, blood out.
You know, my dad was on standby and shit with his gun.
Hell yeah. And Jerome's dad.
Yeah, man, we were always doing some dumb shit with the N64 with the 007 parties or the NWO versus WCW. That was a badass game.
I think the coolest time I had doing that was that one time we went to your buddy's house. I don't know where he lived. He lived like on like 19th and like Indiana or something. He had a big ass house.
He had that and, those mansions off 19th Street, right?
Yeah. We went and played at his house.
And it was projected on the wall.
That was fucking awesome. Yeah, that was like the first time I ever played like anything like that. I was like, holy shit.
We were doing like that four-person split screen, and like each corner was like a 70-inch fucking flat-screen TV on the wall. Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, this is, So this is what it's like to be white.
So this is white privilege.
Yeah, exactly. I go from my 13-inch black and white tube TV to just playing on the wall.
I gotta get the pinzas to change the channel.
With the buffer. And the damn dirty channels are all distorted.
Did you put the red to the red or the red to the yellow, you stupid?
You got on the wrong channel. It's Yabner.
Yeah, man. I don't really understand how the fuck I had so much rich friends, but I did. Well, they weren't rich. Their fucking parents were. But
right.
And I couldn't imagine, like, not going any of those fucking places without taking your ass. I mean, I always took you everywhere, even fucking team meetings for varsity.
Yeah. Yeah, I did. I remember going to Grayson's mom's house, and she was like, she made some like chicken or something. She's like, you want some too? I was like, I guess. Like, I'm not on the team.
You're like, yeah, that's fine. I'm the tight end. Like, yeah.
I call the plays. I'm the Have you seen me play Joe Montana on Sega? Have you seen me play Joe Montana on Sega? You know the kind of plays I call?
Watch this.
Yeah, man, that was.
I coached JV. Funny,
but. Yeah, because then after that, like, then I knew who Grayson was, and, like, I would have classes with him. He's like, hey, what's up, Chris? Blah, blah.
Yeah, man, I fucking took your ass everywhere I went, man. Like I said, man, we spent a lot of our fucking days together, bro. Like, a lot.
Yeah,
of man. Them.
Yeah, that was some good times. And then I would just, like, go home for, like, you know, an hour or maybe even a day at the most, and then come back.
If that, yeah.
Yeah. I'd just go home to wash my ass and then change and then come back. I'd be like, I'll be good for another 2-3 days.
Your mom was like, this fucking kid, I bet.
I'm honestly, like, I'm surprised that she let me, like, hang out there that much, because she was, like, really strict with me and my brother. Like, we couldn't, like, hang out with anybody outside of school, like, during school time, like, on Saturdays and Sundays, like, spending the night at people's houses or whatever. Like, she was really strict on that, and, I mean, in a way, I guess I'm kind of glad she was, because shit, you know, who knows what could have happened, you know?
Yeah.
And some of the horror stories you hear about, you know, kids and stuff. But yeah, like, so I was surprised whenever she was like really cool with just letting me hang with you at your house all the time and stuff. I was like, shit, well, she must really, you know, see some trust or have some trust in me. So
she's like, this idiot can't get in any trouble. He's a fucking moron.
Even though when I was older, sometimes I wasn't at your house, and I said I was at your house.
Oh, yeah. Like, every fucking night that we went to Club Rio, we were gonna stay the night at your house and, like, come home, like, what happened? Chris's house was too hot.
Yeah, right. That's what it was all this fucking time.
We had fucking business being at Club Rio either. We're like in fucking 10th grade.
That was an experience all on its own. Remember that one time when we were there and that fucking bouncer, like, was pissing me off?
He was shoving you, and you were shoving him
back.
Yeah,
he was shoving me. Yeah, and then I was about to fucking punch him, and you're like, no, don't.
I was like, dude, chill.
That's a good idea, because he probably would have beat the shit out of my ass.
Well, not only that, but we were like 12, bro. Like, chill out, bro. We're like 12 or not. Like, we're supposed to be here.
We're gonna miss out on the wet T-shirt contest. Oh, look, I'm cool. Sorry, bro. Sorry. I'll shake his hand. Sorry about that, man.
My bad. I'll go back to standing on the stool in the back.
Well, you want me to stand in the restroom? I'll stand over there. Just don't let me miss the titties.
The whole Club Rio thing, I think you said it when you were on the podcast the first time, but we were fucking teen night horrors on teen night. And what was...
Yes.
It was... What was that club called? Something Library, right?
It was called like Roadhouse Rubies.
I thought it was called Maybe, Something you know. Library.
It could. I mean, that club's changed names like a billion times.
Yeah,
so
yeah. Of course,
it
has.
It could have been both. Yeah,
I'm sure. I think it was Roadhouse something, but when it was teen night and we were going like in middle school and junior high, I know it was the library something or something the library. I don't remember, but anyhow. Yeah, man, we were fucking there every Sunday night or every teen night.
Yeah, we were there. Even if we didn't have, like, rides home, we'd still go.
We fucking lied, and we always knew somebody was going to be there that was going to give us a ride home, and then that backfired on us that one time.
Yeah, that sucked, dude. I was scared like a little bitch. Like, we were like, that's a long ass walk home.
I mean, it was a long ass walk home walking through like downtown, but then that wasn't even the hard part. The hard part was the ghetto ass Overton when it was fucking hood as shit. We're like fucking 12 years old walking through that motherfucker.
All dressed up. All dressed up and nowhere to go.
All jabot out.
But hey, cuz. Nice jabots. They're mine. I borrowed them. They're not mine. Yeah, that was a tough stretch of walk.
And then I remember like fucking jogging half of it just to get home quicker. I was like fucking dying, like god dang.
Yeah, I mean that was not a stroll that I would take ever again.
No shit, but we were fucking diehard Team Night fans. Fuck.
We're looking for somebody.
DJ Kipo, he fucking gave us a ride a few times.
Yeah, he did, huh?
Yeah.
Everyone did. Shit. We've seen the back of everyone's car.
Kipo would make his, remember he'd make his mom get out of the car and then he'd drive?
It was a van. It was a van, right?
Yeah, it was a van.
Was it a van?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Get out, mom. Shit. Oh, well, fuck it. You like, want to drive,
Kipo, you want to drive that bad fool?
Yeah, I remember that, bro. Kind of how I forgot that. I remember that. I was like, shit.
He's like, hey, man, can you give us a ride? Yeah, cool. All right, cool. My mom's right there. And then he'd go to the driver's side. She'd get out like, what the fuck?
Is she walking? Don't go down that way. You went that way once before.
You don't want to send your mom down that way, bro.
Not if you wear your bows.
That's not going to happen. Man. Oh, shit, dude. Let's take a break, man. I'll take a real quick break. We'll come right back.
Hey, it's Eric here with Jonathan at the MRAs, the Mexican Restaurant Awards.
We are super excited for tonight. And look, there goes Kanye Guisada. Mr. Guisada, how are you today? Huh? Fam, I'm excited, fam. Huh?
Oh, and look, there's Cheesy F Baby. Cheesy, who are you wearing tonight?
I'm wearing Chili Versace, Young Moolah.
We will see all of you inside if we patiently wait to see who the winner for the best Mexican restaurant is.
Please welcome your host, Wei Fieri and Benicio Del Toro.
Hey, this is Wei Fieri, and I'm rolling out. And I'm here with Benicio Del Toro to announce the winner of the best Mexican restaurant. Well, this is something I've never seen before. There are no nominees because Tigre Burrito is in a class of its own. From their breakfast and lunch burritos to their magnificent menuda, your taste buds will be taken down a flavor town.
They're located at 720 Highway 62 in Wolford, Texas, and are open Tuesday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. Make sure to let them know you heard about them on the JP Lopez Show.
And we're back. Fucking A, dude. Yeah, we lived at that fucking teen club, and I'm sure somebody listening is gonna fucking educate me. It was just called the library or whatever, but
It was a big club. It was nice. I mean, for a teenager, it was nice.
You remember we were going to the beer garden? I think it was the beer garden, and we parked behind that club. And those cops on the bikes came up to us and they were like, y'all been smoking weed?
Oh, yeah.
We're like, I literally just pulled up and parked. They were like, no, y'all been smoking weed. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about, man? And I was an idiot. I like, remember search that, my fucking truck.
Of all things you could have said, search my truck.
Well, I mean, I was like, it's so fucking stupid. Like, I'm not smoking weed. I don't ever smoke weed. Search my truck. And then I think I had like $1,000 worth of steroids in the console.
Not after that. Not after that, search.
Luckily, back then, that wasn't a controlled substance, so.
Yeah. That's crazy, man. Like, I remember you telling me, because after they searched your truck, then he's like, all right, fine. And then we took, we're
walking. Yeah, we went to the fucking beer garden.
Hang on. You're like, hold on, let me go look at something real quick. And then you're like, fuck, he took like half my roids. I was like, fuck.
No, I had 12 vials of testosterone in there because Conrad told me to hold them. Mm-hmm. And so I fucking just held them. And when I went to go make sure all the shit was still in there, there was only 10. So that cop had took two of them. He took two fucking vials of testosterone. I was like, this motherfucker, man.
Man, no one's trustworthy.
No shit.
You can't even trust the cops.
But, and like I said, I don't even know how that goes. If you even get in trouble, like if that's real drugs or shit. But this was way back when, before even, I guess, the cops knew that it was a control. I don't know. But yeah, that fucker took two of them. And then I told Conrad, I was like, hey, man, here's your shit back. And the cop took two of them. He's like, what the fuck?
Who's this cop? Go look for the swole motherfucker. That's it. That's who took it.
That motherfucker saw Sippy and ate and took it.
Right. Oh, shit.
Yeah, man. Man, we did a bunch of dirty shit in that fucking club. And it was at three clubs in one. It was like the tequila. What was it? Daiquiri Lounge. And then the Beer Garden. I don't remember what that hip hop in the back one was called. I don't know why I'm thinking of Tequila Jungle. I don't know, but it was too small. Yeah, it was real fucking small.
It was cramped. It was cramped as shit, man. And everyone's cramped in there like some sardines.
I know Big Loop. I mean,
that's what the girls were.
I know Big Loop cleared that dance floor many a nights. Swinging on motherfuckers, man.
Like the Tasmanian devil. Just.
You remember we were late bloomers, so our 21st birthdays were later than all of our other friends. And passing by conference every fucking weeknight, we thought it was the shit because obviously we couldn't get in, but it was always so fucking packed. And then I
thought that one and the what was the other bar in the Depot District, like the Red Door or some shit? You had to be like 22 or you had to be a fucking 30-year-old to get in.
Was it Clouseau's?
You remember that one? Maybe it was Clouseau's. I know like the age to get in was like way higher, or maybe it was 21.
It was called the Red Door, right?
I think I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
It was Clouseau's building though, wasn't it? I know what you're talking about, and I think it was called the Red Door, but I think the place was where Clouseau's was at. I mean, I could be wrong, I remember that too. That one was always fucking packed as shit.
Yeah, everyone was going there. With people who were older than us would go, like Noah and Lewis, they would go.
And then we're Athens,
like,
oh,
we're
going
to go there. And we're like, Athens. There you
fucking
go.
Fucking Athens, bro. Is that what you were talking about?
Yeah, I think
that's what it's called. Athens, you had to, like, be 22 years old, and it was so packed. Every time we passed by, it was some, like, hot-ass chicks just dancing right there on the railing. We were just dreaming of the day that we both fucking turned 21. But
exactly.
Yeah, do you remember, like, when our first time going to conference when we were 21? Like, we had no clue on what to fucking do. It was jam-packed, and we're like, what the fuck do we order? Like, how the
exactly. Let's just walk around. Walk around until you get tired. Shit.
Just walk around. We didn't know anybody. Like, what the fuck? Like, why did we want to fucking come here?
We don't know anybody. Nobody knows us. I don't even know what to drink. Order some appetizers.
Well, that was the same story for when we both went to Cancun for our senior trip. Because when we got to the bar, we were like, what do we order? Like, fuck, what did they order? They were like, a Midori sour. Yeah, let me have fucking that.
Well, I mean, like, the whole story behind, like, the whole trip and everything was kind of like, I remember we're high school seniors, and you're like, hey, bro, there's this senior trip that we're thinking about doing. It's going to be a lot of people. And it was like a lot of, like, the cheerleaders and some other people.
Yeah, we got finessed for sure. Some guy.
Yeah, we did, bro. We went to that dude's house, and he's showing us all these, like, videos of, you know, people getting drunk and girls and wet t-shirt contests and all. I was like, hell yeah, I'm in. And then when it's time to go, it's just you and me. when we go, it's just you and me. No one else went.
There was like 20 of us. And then you and I were the only pendejos that paid.
We only ones that paid. We're the ones that went. I was like, what the fuck? Because I remember when we were going to go, my mom's like, who's all going now? I was like, just me and JP. She's like, wasn't there like 20 of y'all going? I was like, well,
not no more.
18 of them motherfuckers didn't pay. So
it was a big old fuck fest and then an orgy and then it was just us.
Just you and me. Oh, well. That was funny because one of the nights that we were there, that was during like the NBA finals and it was your team, the Knicks, against the Spurs. So I know you're like constantly watching the game, but we were at this this club and I remember we were dancing with like girls or whatever. And then you're like, dude, I'm getting tired. And I was like, all right, cool. He's like, I'm going to go get a chair. So I'm like dancing with this girl or whatever. And I get done and I go to the bar and get a drink and I come back. And there's your ass like sitting in the middle of the floor on a, like sitting on a chair in the middle of the fucking dance floor, passed out. I'm like, bro, I'm like, what are you fucking doing? You're just asleep in the middle of the dance floor, sitting on the damn chair. And everyone's just like dancing around you like you're an ornament or something.
Leave him alone.
Come on, let's get out of here.
Leave him alone. He's no trouble.
Let's get out of here. Don't touch him. He'll bite you.
I don't remember that either, but I
wouldn't remember it either, dude.
I probably asked you, did we win?
You're just like, who won? I was like, you don't want to know.
we were at a, remember that foam party? And that was when Tony Hawk did like the 900, remember?
Yeah, that was. We watched it in the hotel room.
And then you and I like posted up right there in front of the stairs because we were watching all the pendejas just fall down the stairs because it was so wet and slippery. And then do you remember the very next day, that fucking club burnt down?
Yeah, that was weird.
We were like, we were just there last night.
If we would have went today, we'd probably be dead. Shit. Getting fire. Hazard and shit.
Yeah,
that was crazy. Like it was, you know, just us being us too. We still had a pretty damn good time, I would say. You know.
Oh fuck yeah! I think that it set the, I guess like the been there done that type shit for when we went back. I know you didn't go back with us, but when me and Noah and Thomas and Lewis went, only me and Noah had been there before, so we kind of knew the ropes and shit. So. Like, don't go here.
Yeah,
they're going to ask you for money here. Don't go here because it's expensive here.
Yeah, and then we make the mistake of just eating nothing but, like, McDonald's the whole time. And
I remember having the worst pizza fucking ever in my life. It was in Cancun, dude.
That's the one you threw out the window.
Dude,
everyone. You threw that fucking pizza out the window.
Everyone
that little
says,
Mexican
that you know, even bad pizza is not that bad. Fuck that pizza was horrible.
That pizza was made with shit water, man.
For all
y'all don't know, me and JP, we were in Cancun and we were starving after the club and we saw a pizza joint, so we both ordered a large pizza each. We go back to our hotel room and the pizza just tastes like ass. Like it's just shitty cheese, like shitty dough. It was just, they probably made the dough with shit water. And so JP's like, man, fuck this pizza. And he opens up the window. Keep in mind, we're like five stories up. Grabs the pizza and throws it out the fucking window. Next morning, I hear like a knocking on the window. I'm like, what the? Who the hell's trying to, you know, come inside from the window? I go to the window and it's this little Hispanic man, Mexican man, climbing up the palm trees. And he's trying to fish the pizza out of the damn palm tree. I'm like, oh shit, they saw the pizza, like the pizza landed on the palm tree. It was hilarious, man. I was like, well, it was shitty pizza, so
dude,
that was.
And I think we had like coupons, right?
Yeah, it was like a bunch of
food vouchers to eat, and I think only McDonald's and like I don't think it was Taco Bell. It was another, KFC, right?
Yeah.
It was McDonald's and KFC that we only fucking ate from because the rest were like, I ain't fucking eating that shit.
Yeah. Well, that and some of them were like for breakfast vouchers and we never woke up in time to eat breakfast.
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah, never that. But the dinner vouchers were like at Vita Costa or some shit. We're like, nah, fuck that. I'm going to eat McDonald's and fucking KFC.
Yeah, I don't trust that place. I might not come back from there, shit. Do you remember that one club we went to where they had like all the girls on like the stage and all the guys were like up underneath them and it was like free reign. Like you could
pretty much do whatever you damn want. It was before cancel culture.
You could do whatever you want, dude.
It was like we were at Epstein Island. I know, I did
whatever I want. Get whatever I want. Should have worn gloves. Shit.
Oh, shit. We've been to Epstein Island.
Yeah. Well, we've been there. It's not as bad as they make it out. Not that bad. I promise.
I didn't see no fucking kids there.
I saw some. I saw where kids come out of, but I didn't see any kids.
Oh, shit, man. Yeah.
Good times. Good times.
Fucking A, dude. Yeah. The portraits that, you know, the very first time we went, the portraits that I came back, they were, I don't think any of them were any pictures I wanted to show my parents.
Did you have a good time in this few pictures? No.
The camera broke.
Someone sat on the camera.
Yeah, man. And then that was back in the day when you had to get your film developed. I bet they were like, what the fuck is wrong with this kid?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they looked at him, too. Oh, yeah. I know whenever I used to live in Lubbock and I worked at Sprint, I used to, like, fix cell phones. Customers would bring their cell phones in.
The little background area?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I was a technician, so you would go take your cell phone and get it fixed, they would bring it back to me, and I would look to see like who it was. So if it was a hot chick or whatever, I'd look through her picture. So you better delete your shit. And no one ever did. And I saw a lot of shit, man. I was like, holy shit. I call people back. Like, hey, come look at this picture. And they go and like, oh damn. They take snapshots of it and shit. People take snapshots. Yeah. I was like, damn, I got a good job.
Oh shit, dude.
I don't get paid for shit, but the benefits outweigh it. Yeah, man.
Oh, yeah, I know her.
She looks different from this angle.
I'm going to ask, and I probably already know the answer because I think I've already asked you, but you don't remember going into the mall where that hot, like, fucking, I don't know, like, Maxim-type model chick was right in front of us, and like she kind of knew we were just staring at her, and she like busted ass and fell right in front of us.
That sounds familiar. I don't completely recall, but I do remember something like that.
It was like the hardest that we've ever laughed, man, because the bitch knew like we were fucking, you know, I fucking her, and like she put a more swagger in her more fucking effort step. Into it. Yeah, and I think that's what fucked her up because she was like in high heels and she fell. And when she fell, she like rolled and her high heel like flipped way high in the fucking air. And me and you laughed our ass off because like she was like, you know, like I ain't giving y'all the time of day, and then it like backfired on her. Like we were just fucking dying laughing at her.
All I have to say is Lord works in mysterious ways.
To be quite honest with you, I think like we walked over her because like she was like fell like right in front of us.
Yeah, that's starting to come to light more. I remember that.
Yeah, it was, fuck you, bitch. If you'd have fucking just acted like a normal person, we'd probably help you up, but yeah.
Exactly.
You're right. You're like, thank you, God, for that laugh. Like,
thank you. Nice to know that no one's perfect. Even with an ass like that.
She was
even
bad.
With an ass like that.
With an ass like that, it's got to be Smuckers. dude, I wanted to ask you if you ever wanted to tell that story about you catching your girl fucking around.
Yeah, I can tell.
I'm a very observant person, you know. Not as much no more, but back in the day I was. And, like, taking you there to drop you off at her house a million fucking times. I just kind of like knew the few houses down because I'd always have to like make a U-turn and shit. I'm telling you all this because I'll let you tell the story and then I'll tell you why I'm telling you that.
Okay. Well, I mean, it was just, I mean, I'm trying to think how I can put this. It was like towards the end of our relationship. We were kind of like not working out too well. So it was going to happen either way. Like either she was or I was.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, it was just like
it was not a surprise that y'all were going to break up. Right. It was going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It was definitely going to happen sooner or later. But I would have preferred to have been done the cheating instead of being cheated on. But but yeah, it was just weird because typically like on Sundays were like the boys' days. Like we would always get together at your house and, you know, watch HBO or whatever, eat dinner or whatever. And then when I leave, I go to her house because that's when she would spend time with her family or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was weird. It was a weird situation because I was like, hey, I'm gonna come over. And she's like, well, I'm over at dad's house helping him with his taxes and blah, 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 which I should have known because it wasn't even taxes. But she's like, yeah, I'm helping him with his taxes. I was like, all right, cool, whatever.
It was October. And then,
Yeah, right. Bitch, it's 4th of July. We're just trying to file early. She's like, I'm helping him with my taxes. So I just call you when I get home. And I was like, all right, cool. And then I don't know what it was. I just had a feeling. And you're like, dude, something's up. So, yeah, you took me over there. And as soon as we pull up, like, it's just an instant feeling. And then there's someone's random, like, vehicle that's normally not there at her house. So,
But you knew that, though. I didn't take you there, right? Didn't you go?
No, yeah. Actually, I did go. I drove over there, and then something didn't feel all right. And I came home, and then I called you, and you're like, dude, fuck that. Let's go back over there. Yeah. And I was like, all right, shit. So you're like, I'll go get you. So you picked me up, and then we went over there.
So that's why I told the story, because I had known from dropping you off fucking millions times there that there was like they put bricks that were out, like, I guess because a grass didn't grow there, so they just filled it with bricks on this big ass tree that was in front of the house. And I was like, hey man, I'm gonna take you to this house because they got loose bricks right there by the tree. You're like, what? And then I think you immediately put two and two together and you were like, oh.
Well, see, it was just weird. I mean, how random is that? Like, if you knew, like how does that happen to where, okay, I go to my girl's house, she's fucking around, and whoever she's fucking around with is there, but he's hiding or whatever. And it so happened there was some bricks out there that I could use as a weapon. So, yeah, I grabbed that motherfucker and threw it through his damn window. And then we took off. The fucked up part is it could have been someone else's vehicle. It could have been a neighbor's car or someone's grandparents' car.
What I found,
and I thought that brick. I threw that brick through that motherfucker. I was like, well, whoever's car it is, they ain't gonna be happy in the morning.
What I find fucking hilarious in this whole story is all right, you fucking broke that fucking window to a million pieces, right? And I figured like you were gonna like run and hide and like act like you didn't do it. Well, you immediately call over there, and I think he's pissed, and he answers the phone. And you're like, "Hey, bitch, how's your window?"
Yeah. He's like, "Now I gotta get it fixed." And I was like, "Well, I'll go meet you wherever you're at and help you." And he's like, "Oh, fuck you, blah blah." Yeah. I guess my biggest thing was that like he was hiding like a little bitch.
Yeah.
Like when I went to her house, I mean, I don't think they were really doing anything because she had like roommates and stuff. So it's like there was like people in that house.
Yeah.
But the fact that he was like, you know, hiding, like, be a man, like, we're going to be there or whatever. Just, you know, I know it can be awkward, you know, you being the other person because, you know, I've been in that situation plenty of times where I've been like the other person and it's weird, you know. But at the same time, it's like, dude, like, where the fuck were you hiding? Because I looked like almost, I ransacked that house and I could not find that motherfucker, dude.
He was under the bed.
I looked under her bed.
Oh, shit.
I looked in the kitchen. I looked in the garage. I guess he was up in the attic.
Being fucking Spider-Man.
Like, fucking Chevy Chase. He's up there like Christmas Vacation over there watching drills. You didn't check the chimney, motherfucker. No, I did not.
Yeah, dude.
But needless to say, I checked everywhere, bro.
I legit thought, like, okay, he's gonna hide for a little bit, go into hiding, and then you called over there, and he answered. You're like, "How's your window, bitch?"
It's good shit, man. It's a good life experience.
Fuck, man.
Oh, shit happens, I guess. But it was, I just found that, like, there's here and there, I'll think about that. I'm like, how coincidental, like, there was just a bunch of loose bricks there, like, you know, just waiting for me to pick one up and toss it, you know, through that window. Like, of all places, of all times, and of all situations, it all, like, aligned perfectly.
Yeah, you're like, how's your window? Like, this fucking dude.
There was a time where I didn't give a shit.
But I had seen them fucking bricks, and I was like, that's fucking weird. Like, why would you put bricks there? And then I was like, I take you another time, and I'm like, them bricks are fucking loose. And then I just banked that knowledge for a later deposit.
It all correlated perfectly. That's a real friend right there. real friend always got your back.
And I drove that truck, like, man, that was my pride and joy. Like, window, all four windows down, fucking music blaring. Like, people fucking hated us, dude. They fucking hated.
Wow. Do you remember before your truck when you had the Jimmy? Dude, that horn was like the most annoying horn ever. You pissed everybody off with that fucking horn.
The horn stopped working because I used it so
Someone
much.
Probably unplugged it. Shit. Your dad probably unplugged it.
I know your drug dealer neighbor fucking hated it.
Yeah, he did. You're fucking up my count.
When you told me that he sold drugs, I was like, oh yeah, fuck this. Game over, bro. And like, he would come to the door and like mad dog me. And I think that, I guess he thought that was intimidating, and I would just stare right back at him and be like, meep, 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 meep. I was like, you ain't calling the cops, what's wrong with JP? Bitch.
My mom was like, why is he honking so much? I was like, oh, God, he's in a hurry. I think it's stuck or something.
Well, not only that, because you're fucking slow ass, dude. Like, goddamn, Chris, hurry the fuck up.
Yeah, I did take long to get ready. That's weird, because I bet you'd be like, all right, I'll be there in like 45 minutes to be ready. And I'm like, I don't know. It just took me forever to get ready. I don't know what else to say. It took me forever to iron my clothes. And
It must be a Martinez thing, man, because I keep hearing that Eric Martinez, they're late to everything, bro. And I keep hearing that they're late because he takes forever to get ready. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Oh, really?
To comb your hair and put on some jeans. Like, what the fuck, man?
Must be. Because my wife, she's a Martinez now, and she takes forever to get ready, too.
So. Oh, dude. It can legit be like an hour before we got to be somewhere, and me and the wife are arguing, bro, because she thinks she has time to take a nap. And I'm like, I'm like, you legit take fucking 8 hours to get ready anywhere. We've got to be somewhere in like 2 hours, and you want to take a nap now? Oh, dude, it drives me nuts, man.
Yeah, I feel your pain, man. Like, my wife's the same way. She doesn't take naps, but she takes, like, while she's getting ready, she'll, like, watch tutorials on makeup and listen to some music and pour some wine. And I'm like, dude, we need to be somewhere, and you're just, like, taking your sweet-ass time to get ready. I was like, who the hell taught you how to get ready?
And then you're the asshole like, for why? Barking. Like, because you're barking. Exactly. You're the fucking dick. I'm like, God dang, man. Fuck.
So we're so... Like, the group of friends we hang out with here, we're, like, the couple that they know that's always going to be late. So they even got, like, smart with it. Like, they'll, like, tell us, hey, such and such dinner is going to be at 7:30, but it's really, like, at 8 o'clock.
Because they know so y'all's
if we're late, yeah, so that if we're late, you know, we're actually on time. But yeah, that's something else, man. It's, like, I don't know why what people think when they, like, get ready. I'm more, like, now that I'm older, I mean, even before, I guess I'm always just like in a hurry. So I'm trying to get ready as fast as I can because I don't want to be the late person. And I end up being the late person.
I can be like drenched in sweat, smelling like fucking shit from the gym, from a hard ass workout, and be ready in like 30 minutes, bro. Showered, shaved, new fucking clothes, new cologne, hair combed or a hat on in 30 minutes. It just drives me nuts. And then I don't get ready until she's about ready, because if I get ready but like before her, all hell's gonna break loose, because I'm be on her ass the whole time. Like,
yep, that's why I always let my wife get ready first, and I'll like give her like an hour head start just so. And it's funny because I mean the house we live in, we have three restrooms, and for some reason I guess I'm so used to sharing a restroom with her that I still wait for her to shower before I get in the shower. Like, we use the same shower.
Fucking A, but, dude. I mean, you have three restrooms?
Yeah.
Fucking, I have two restrooms. Fucking mansion in Wisconsin, dude. What the fuck?
Yeah,
I came. I'd go crazy if I had three restrooms.
And that's how I was. Like, I used to take a shit. Like, okay, Monday I'm shitting in this room.
Hell yeah.
Tuesday I'm shitting in this restroom. But now it's gone to a point. We've gotten to a point we don't really like use them that much. Like, I have to like randomly go in there and like turn on like the shower faucet and the sink faucets just to make sure that
they're not
it stays like
yeah, guess, they work.
Yeah, because if not, it makes our like water smell funny. It's weird. And we had asked about it with a builder, and they're like, yeah, sometimes if you don't keep something like wet or something, it'll start to dry out and it'll leave a smell. So
y'all have soft water?
We don't have to go in there. We have hard water.
Oh, you don't have the soft water softener bullshit?
No. And I'm kicking myself for it, because this guy came by one time and I thought he was like with the city trying to do like a test on our water.
Yeah.
So we invited his ass back, and that motherfucker was worked for some company trying to sell me like water filtration. I'm like, motherfucker, I thought you were like with the city. I thought you were going to help me. The dude's trying to sell me like a $7,000 water system.
He's like,
he even came to our house.
He's like, well,
bro, he came to our house.
I saw the layout. I saw you had three restrooms, so I thought you had money.
Exactly. He's like, he came to our house and he brought this whole like science experiment kit that had tubes, and he was doing like the water test with, you know, all this shit. I'm like, okay, so when are you going
to? That ain't nothing but ultra perm.
I was like, my hair will be all right with that shit.
Get the fuck out of here. That ain't nothing but ultra perm.
Yeah, and then he's like, and honestly, I almost did get it just because, I mean, the water, I mean, it would help out with the water a lot. And
it's good and bad, because the water kind of feels like it's jelly. So it's it's good, because of course your skin is always like never dry and itchy, but you don't really feel like you've got all that soap off you, because it feels like jelly type. I don't know. It's real fucking weird.
Yeah, that was a weird situation. So I was like, eh, whatever. But now I think about it, I was like, dude, I should have just financed it. Because he was like, we can finance it too. I was like, yeah, okay, all right. Then I was like, I don't need this shit right now.
I'll pay $50 a month, puto.
Like $50 a month. You come change your filter.
You said Sunday night at my house, man. You ain't lying, bro. We fucking kicked it all fucking day in my parents' house on Sunday, bro. From like whenever everyone showed up playing video games until fucking that nighttime watching whatever shows we were into on HBO.
Yep. Yeah. That was fun, man. That was especially like when new movies would come out. You know, pick up a couple of free movies from Lewis and
fucking watch that shit. Then watch The Sopranos. Yeah. And my dad would be all pissed off talking shit because he had to cook for 10 motherfuckers.
What the fuck are they all doing here? But the cool thing was, like, you were like the first bunch of fags always eating together. You were like the first of us to have a DVD player. Like, you had that nice one. I remember when y'all first got it, and I was like, damn, what the fuck? What is this? Like, I didn't see a VHS insertion to put a tape in there. You're like, no, this is a DVD player. I think it was like, was it a LaserDisc player or was it a DVD player?
No, it was a DVD player. I think my Uncle Enos and my dad pitched in for it for my birthday. And I remember getting Varsity Blues as my very first DVD. And then I told everyone that I got a DVD player, and then I think all y'all bought me like each a DVD movie, which was probably like $50 fucking dollars back then. Right?
Yeah. That shows how old we were. Like DVDs were like fucking new to us, and we're like, "What is this DVD? Whatever. Like, how do you record?"
All the new music and all the new movies came out every Tuesday and shit. Yep. Going to fucking Camelot to get hooked up every Tuesday. Thanks, Lewis.
The other kid that would steal for us.
In high school. What the fuck, Aaron?
Yeah,
Aaron was his name.
He stole a lot of shit, dude. He stole so much shit from Hastings; it was ridiculous. Like, I don't know how he didn't get caught, or maybe eventually he did get caught. But he stole us a lot of movies, a lot of games, games. Like,
he would take requests, and remember, we were like, "Is he full of shit? Like, what do you mean request?" And we told him like three or four shits the very first time, and then he like showed up the next day with it, and we're like, "What the?
Yeah, fuck? He had him. He's like, here you go." And then all he wanted in return was like friendship. Like he didn't care to get paid.
Well, that was the shitty part.
He wanted to kick it with us.
That was the shitty part is because the very next time he was like, "I need you to go with me." I was like, "No, I'm not in this shit, dude." And he's like, "Well, I just need a ride there." I was like, "All right, cool, man, but I ain't fucking in this bullshit." you remember it was like fucking the middle of August, and y'all had that big ass starter jacket on.
Yeah, right. It's 100 degrees outside. The wind's blowing. What are you doing with that jacket?
Yeah, he put
you
all
dropped
that.
Him off, and then he just sped off.
He was
you dropped him off and sped off. You didn't even like wait for his ass.
So
you walked your ass home.
So to all y'all listening, this fucker, like whatever movie you wanted to rent or check out, he was stealing like the rental video games or the rental movies. And he was putting it in this big ass jacket. So you remember Hastings had that big old clear box that were all locked inside of. You remember that?
Yep.
They had to have that universal key to open the box that would prevent you from stealing it. And then they'd give you the game or whatever that was in it. Well, this asshole would put all those clear boxes that they came in his jacket. But then he figured out he would walk through the entrance because they didn't have the alarm, the
beep, beep, sensors, beep, 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 beep.
So, yeah, that's how he would walk. And then he would take out all those shits and, like, just break them on the curb, on the side of the curb. And, yeah, and then he would open it. But, yeah, that's how he would steal shit. And me and Chris were like, this dude's bullshitting. And then the first day that we put in our request, he brought our shit. And then it wound up to being like, well, I need a ride over there. Like, well, I'll take you, but I ain't with your ass.
I'm not sticking around. What do you get caught?
Do you remember when him and remember Eddie were tight, and we took them home. We took them to Eddie's house, and that dude was like, "Oh shit, Eddie, you live in the Alamo?" Because his house looked like an adobe house.
Poor Eddie, dude. Eddie, I feel sorry for that kid, man. He used to live down the street from me. And he used to live down the street from me, and I would invite him over. Hey, you want to come over and play, you know, whatever, Ninja Turtles or whatever? This is when we were, like, in elementary.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, okay. And the reason I invited him over is because, like, he had, like, all of them. He had all the Ninja Turtles. He had all the bad guys. He had everything. And so in my backyard, we had this big-ass tree that had fallen over. And so, like, my mom had it removed and everything. But there was, like, a hole in the ground. And so we would pretend that was like their sewer or whatever, their layer or whatever.
That's where you jacked
and
them.
So I stick his toys in there and then fucker. He would leave. And then my mom's like, who is that kid that was here? And I was like, oh, that's Eddie. Him and his mom lived like down the street in that house. She's like, that house? And I was like, yeah.
In the
like,
Alamo?
His mom's a hooker. Mom's like, his mom's a hooker.
His mom's a hooker. God dang.
I was like, that makes sense because he has all the toys. So that must be hooker money. She was like, I don't want you hanging around that kid. His mom's a hooker. And I was like, okay, all right. I was like, Eddie, we can't be friends.
Thanks for fucking Shredder, though.
Thanks for Shredder. I needed him.
I needed Shredder and Splinter.
Poor Eddie. He was a good guy, though. He was a good kid. He would never cause trouble or anything like that. He was just more
like, he was just quiet, man. Like, real fucking
quiet.
Yeah,
like, real quiet.
Yeah. And I'll never forget, like, taking him home. That fucking dude was like, oh, shit, Eddie, you live in the Alamo? We're like, what the fuck?
Damn stucco house. You got too much stucco in your house for West Texas.
You said Sunday night HBO. Are you liking that Idol show? I don't get it, man. Know. It's just nothing but sex that first episode. You're like, what the fuck is this?
It is.
Like,
yeah. I mean, because, like, I don't know. I like The Weeknd. He's, like, one of my favorite artists. Like, I've listened to his music for quite some time. So, like, anything he does, like, I fuck with or whatever. So
you don't care.
He's usually pretty good.
You don't care if he's a Satanist.
Yeah, or he has a rat tail. Fucking rat tail.
I trip out, man, because he's, like, hooked up with some of the hottest chicks. And I just trip out. I was like, it has to be his music, man, because he looks like a bunch of my cousins that I'm like that never get no pussy.
How do you give it? And they don't.
He looks exactly like a couple of my cousins that never get pussy.
It's got to be the thing, man. Yeah.
Especially when he braids his hair. I'm like,
yeah, his hair is something else, man. But, yeah, I mean, I've always liked his music, like, since, like, one of his first albums, or not actually the first album, but it was, like, one called The Trilogy, and it had some pretty good shit on there, and, I've always, like, really liked it, so I was like, man, well, I'll give this Idol a shot, plus it has, what's his name, daughter on there, she's pretty smoking hot, too, so I was like, well, at least I'll have something nice to watch, you know?
When I saw the first episode last week, I guess I understood where all the bad reviews were from, because I mean, I'm just like, no wonder they were talking about it being misogynistic, because fucking A, man, the whole show is just her getting fingered. Like, what the fuck?
Goddamn. Where are all these hands coming from?
60 minutes of her getting fingered. Like, fuck.
She never wears any damn clothes. Well, she's ready for it. She goes out with her titties out, hanging out.
Yeah.
I guess that's how it is in California. I don't know.
But you sent me a couple of topics that you wanted to get into, man. You want me to ask the question or?
Oh, I mean, I'll ask you. I'll go ahead and do a little reversal on you.
There you go.
First thing is, can you tell me, like, what's the best, like, how long have you and Raquel been married?
8 years this year.
8 years?
Yeah.
So that's pretty good stretch there already. Like, what is one good thing that you feel about being married as opposed to when you were, like, single?
I love my wife like you would not believe, bro. I couldn't even, being single, I couldn't even imagine loving a woman as much as I love her. That, you know, that isn't your mom. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, because we all love our moms like fucking no tomorrow. But that type of love for anyone else, I could never fathom it, imagine it, like, just never thought it was for me. And when, like, I truly fell in love with her, I'll say it like this. Like, she went to Vegas without me last week. Mm-hmm. She was there for, like, 3 days, bro. And it was, like, the longest fucking 3 days of my life, dude. Because I'm so used to having a partner in life, bro, in everything that I do, like coming home, talking about my day, going to bed together, waking up together, getting ready for whatever, like together, like just being to get just being there for me. And those fucking 3 days that she was absent, they were long. They were the worst. They were horrible. Like, and it just so happened that those were the shittiest days that I've ever had in my work career because of these storms and all this bullshit. Like, I'm just like, man, like, there's no way that I could, number one, like, lose her, like, you know, like, separate, divorce type shit. And, like, there's just no way that I can live without her. Like, that's the difference, bro. It's like, I basically need her in my life to do my life right.
Yeah, totally. I totally understand that, too, because, I mean, same here, man. Like, whenever, you know, my wife, you know, had COVID and she was in the hospital, that was, like, that was a weird situation because I've never gone, you know, a day or two without being together.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, all the time. And then you go from that to, like, not seeing the person, even if it's for a day or two, you know, it's just, it's a weird situation.
It's fucking,
you feel,
yeah.
You feel something's missing. You feel something like it's missing.
Yeah, man. So,
and
that, what... Would that would be the best thing about you being married too, is just being together?
Yeah, because, I mean, you go from being just an individual to being a team. And before I lost my mom, she told me, she was like, first thing she told me, she's like, you better marry her. She's like, because she's a good woman and all the family loves her, so you need to make an honest woman out of her. So I was like, yeah, I promise, you know, I'm going to marry her. And another thing she said was, you know, you two are a team. You have to work together. You know, you can't, a team can't function without the other person.
Yeah.
So you always have to make sure that, you know, you guys are always, you know, good to each other, you know, and don't, you know, you're gonna always have your disagreements and your arguments, but make sure that, you know, it doesn't last longer than, you know, it needs to, and never go to bed, like, mad at each other.
And
so...
what's crazy is women always show their worth to you. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah. When I was fucking around and I was single and I was just, like, messing with fucking, you know, all these chicks, it always blew my mind that we would have, like, a deep conversation with with any of them. And then we'd go back out again and... You know, I'd be like, oh, yeah, you remember what I told you yesterday or last week? And they'd have no fucking clue. And I'd be like,
yeah, yeah.
You fucking girls are not even fucking listening. Like,
yeah, exactly. You
know, like, and then when
and you, that's how you know you found the one.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say is when you find the right person and then they're like, oh, yeah, you've already told me this or, oh, you said this. And I'm like, oh, shit. Like, you fucking listen? Like, oh, shit. Okay.
It's, yeah, exactly.
It's
yeah.
Fucking, yeah, it's crazy, man.
That's how you know, because it's just like things that aren't things that you tell them, they remember, and they kind of actually hold you to certain things, especially if you promise them something, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah, we'll do this or that. And they're like, oh, are you ready? Or are we going to go do this? Are we going to go do that? Oh, shit, you know, you remembered. So, like, oh, yeah, that's...
Fuck, you're cool.
Exactly. Yeah, and like with me and my situation, in my relationship, with my wife, the I mean, I always knew that we'd end up getting married, but we dated for a really long time. Like we were grown ass adults and we're still dating. And I think the reason for that was just because of how like comfortable we were, particularly me with just like us being together and we're not having any major problems. So things were running smoothly. So like why
ruin
it? You know, if it's not broken, yeah, don't ruin it. But then at the same time, I recall this one time we went to dinner with some coworkers of my wife when we were dating with just boyfriend and girlfriend. And she's like, oh, this is my boyfriend so-and-so. And they were an older couple, like way older. And the guy was like, that's your boyfriend? And like kind of like, well, how come you guys aren't married or blah, blah, blah. And it just struck me in the head. I was like, dude, like... It's time to fucking get married. Like, you're too old to be the boyfriend. You know, you can't call her my girlfriend. We were already in our, you know, mid-30s, late-30s. So,
I was like you, bro. I was trying to get at least 12 fucking years of dating before we said I do. She wasn't
happy. It's gotta be right.
Yeah, she was like, nah, motherfucker.
Yeah, it's... And it's like, we had talked about it or whatever, you know, about getting engaged or whatever, but I never really, like, went further. And then finally I was like, well, let's just go look at rings. And then so we went, and I knew I was gonna get it that day. But yeah, it's a crazy little thing there. What's a thing you feel like you could grow, or what thing that you could something in your current or in your marriage that you feel could probably do better, or maybe something that you could improve on?
I've already improved in not having any fucking patience at all to having some patience with her. But I definitely think that I still need improvement on that, bro. I mean, you know me, man. I've been like, you know, if you're not fucking ready, I'm gone. Like, Like, you've had, and that's why we argue all the time for not anything other than being late to places, because that's our only fucking real argument. But to be quite fucking honest with you, man, I've been working so much lately. We've been shorthanded at work, and then we've got more people just fucking quitting because they've got job offers elsewhere. And, you know, Lubbock don't pay. This is a career that pays, but not Lubbock don't pay for shit, man. So yeah. I don't blame people for leaving for that mighty dollar, man. But, you know, for the people staying, it man, dude, it sucks. I tell you all this.
Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah, it is. But I tell you all this because I need to come home with the understanding that she has nothing to do with my work life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I come home all pissed, and then I try not to take it out on her for having a shitty day at work. But, you know, she's just, how was your day? And, you know, and I take it as, like, just leave me the fuck alone. You know what I mean?
As
opposed to, it's just a normal, it's just how we fucking do. It's just, I've been having a shitty go around here lately. So I think
that's crazy you say that, because I mean, I'm honestly identical to what you're saying. Like same thing. I come home from work and she'll be like, how's your day going, whatever, and I just go off on her. I'll be like, you know what, you know, why is the kitchen dirty, or why you know, why is our dog, why
you left the,
like,
fucking microwave open.
How come I'm not 6'5"? Stuff like that.
Where's the fucking cold cuts?
I agreed with you totally, and I totally understand what you're saying, because I mean, identical, bro. Same thing. Like, I'm the same way too. I don't have a lot of patience for anything, and I need to work on that too, dude. Because I'm just as bad.
This
Friday, bro. on Friday, dude. I got home. I worked. Got off work. Went to the gym. Came back, and we need to go to the store. And so I told my wife, I was like, you want to go with me to the store? She's like, yeah, I'll go with you. So I'm like, all right, well, let's go. She's like, well, hang on a second. So I sit down, I'm waiting on her, and I'm watching the NBA finals. And I'm like, hey, are you ready yet? She's like, yeah, give me a second. And she said like 2-3 times, same shit. Give me a second. I was like, all right, fuck this. So finally she was done, and she was like, are you ready? I was like, no, I'm not fucking going. She's like, what? We need to go to the store and get stuff. I was like, oh, well, we'll go tomorrow. She's like, I'm tired. Dude. I said 3 times. Are you ready? And she's like, yeah, I'm ready. But she's not really ready. She's looking something up, or I don't know what the hell she was doing.
It's like my marriage is looking in a mirror, bro. I do that same going, shit, man. That. I'm like, we gotta go. All right, cool. Like, hurry, we gotta go. Okay. And then I don't see her doing shit. I'm like, fuck it, I'm not going nowhere. And then it's a fight. She's like, well, I'm ready. Well, I'm not fucking going no more. Fuck that.
It's over. You had your chance. That window was closed.
But all this shit reminds me of Kevin Hart's skit when he was like, bitch, I got fired today. You want to tickle somebody?
You want to tickle somebody?
He's like, I just got my wife. He's like, who's had a good day? You are. He's like, bitch, I got fired today. You want to tickle somebody?
It's always at the worst time, bro.
Yeah, man.
Always at the worst time.
But we're the assholes because we break down on that shit.
Yeah, it's true. But I mean, but the grand scheme of things, I mean, it's I guess in a sense if that's the main issues we're having in our marriages, you know, that's a good thing, because some people have issues with, you know, infidelity or issues or, you know, whatever it is. So these little minute things are, you know, they're not really that big.
Yeah.
You know, it's life.
We've got no room to be bitching about it, but yeah, I get it.
exactly. Go ahead.
Before we go, you had said that if I've ever had the best or worst job.
Yeah, what was your best and what was your worst job?
Like, dude, to be 100% honest with you, the worst jobs that I've ever had were my most funnest jobs, because I was always with a large group of people, and I got to like completely fuck around and, you know, and get my job, my work done. And, like, I don't know. It doesn't come as a surprise to anyone that I'm a people person. So I love being around people. So this warehouse job that was, like, back-breaking fucking work, like, we made it fun because me and Adam and Leroy worked there, like, making it fun, busting our ass, getting jobs done. And then another shitty job was, like, delivering office furniture. Same thing, man. Like, this guy Mickey that I really, really would love to have on the podcast, because he's kind of like a mentor to me, like an honorary uncle type shit. And I was always with him because we were always fucking around. Always fucking around. I'll tell you a story here in a second about that job. But, dude, that was also shit fucking work. Like, shit work. The owner of that place would, like, buy 80, 60-year-old old fucking office furniture, office cubicles. And then we'd go over there to, like, an abandoned building that used to be old offices, and then be like, well, we own all this equipment now. We got to take it apart and then move it to the warehouse that's never going to be fucking sold. It was just shit work, but we had fucking I always had fun doing it because we were just fucking around.
That's cool, man. At least you make the best of it, you know?
Yeah. You make I can answer that question with the most shittiest bosses that I've ever fucking had, because I've had fuck, dude. But to go back on the story that I said I was going to tell you, so we were moving this office furniture and I opened a desk, and it's an abandoned building. It's an old business that was years ago, and it's a checkbook, right? So I gave it to my boss that I'm telling you that I would love to have on the podcast. His name is Mickey. And I was like, check it out, bro. Let me write you a check. And so I got the bright idea when I said, hey, let me write you a check. I go, hey, dude, because every day before we left, we just sat or stood around talking shit to each other, just waiting to clock out. You know what I mean? So I was like, hey, man, when we're getting ready to go today, like, in the middle of the whole powwow, come give me this check. And I wrote it out to $10,000, right?
$10,000, shit.
Yeah, I wrote out a check for $10,000, and then he signed it. And then I go, hey, dude, give me this check in front of everybody. And then I go, I'm going to tell people that you're loaning me $10,000. And he was like, nice. Oh. Like, he was like, okay, cool, hell yeah. So, like, fucking, like we planned, bro. We're just all standing around ready to fucking clock out and go home. Well, he comes in the middle of everybody. He's like, oh, here's that money I told you I was going to give you. And everybody's like, what the fuck? And then I grabbed the check real fast. And they were like, let me see, like, well, how much? And I go, oh, man, I just going through some hard times, man. Mickey loaned me $10,000. And they all looked at him like, like, what the, like, just dumbfounded, right? Well, I guess he thought about it. I don't know if it, like, he was just, like, fresh off the dome with the shit, but he's like, oh, yeah, you know, that new house we bought, there's oil there. He goes, so we got a bunch of mineral rights under there. He goes, so we just came into this money, and JP needed help, so I loaned him some money. Dude, not even a minute later, bro, one of the temps was like, hey, Mick, can I talk to you over here real quick, man?
You got a couple dollars? I got his cheeseburgers.
So he pulls Mick aside, and they go way to the back of the warehouse, right? And I'm just looking at him, and I tell everybody, I go, check this out. I go, we were bullshitting, dude. We just found this checks at whatever building we were at. And I go, check this out. I bet he's asking him for money. So all of us, like, stop and are, like, you know, smiling, just staring at him, right? I don't know, like, 30 seconds goes by, and you see Mick's mouth moving. Well, you see that dude, like, just fucking drop his head, and he was like, motherfucker.
Dumbass.
He goes, you fucking bitch, man. I just told you my whole fucking life story, and this was all a joke. He was pissed that he was vulnerable and asked him for that shit. Stupid, yeah.
Now, John, you done took this joke too far. Oh,
and then, so later on, I had called him, or I don't know if I went to his house, and I go, "What did he ask you for?" And he goes, "This motherfucker asked me for 20 grand because he wanted to start a record company."
What the 20 grand? Wow. And then the purpose was to start his own, like, No Limit Records. You got a limit that starts at 20,000.
Dude, he was so fucking pissed, man. And we were all laughing at his ass.
That's hilarious, man. That was a good one. Now I know your stupid ambitions.
That's a good story, along with, I don't know if you told me this as a joke or it really happened, but you told me one of your buddies had a free refrigerator story. That no one took it. And then he changed the sign to $60 and it got stolen. Oh, yeah. He told me stupid, that right? The refrigerator had a free sticker on it for like 3 days, and then he got smart and changed the sign to $60 and someone stole it.
Someone took it, yeah. Hell yeah. This just goes to show, man. That can happen too with our old furniture from our apartment. We brought it with us when we moved into the house, and because the furniture that we ordered wasn't coming in for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So we needed somewhere to sit and shit. And so it was still fairly decent. I mean, their furniture was still in pretty decent shape. I mean, I just told my wife, just put it on like whatever, Facebook or whatever, and see what you can get for it. And so she just put like $100 for like the whole set, which is like a sofa, a couch, a chair, and an ottoman. And nobody like fucking said shit. But as soon as she said free, like the opposite, like she got all kinds of shit.
Fucking.
And so this one lady's like, she's like, I'll be there like at 5. All right, cool. 5 o'clock comes. I'm like, I don't want them coming in our house. I go, so I'll move all the furniture out to the garage, and they can just pick it up from there. And it took her forever to get here. It was like 9 o'clock, and she still wasn't here. And I was like, text her and tell her if she's not here by 9:30, don't come. And she got here at 9:25. And
was back on Facebook Market at 10 o'clock.
Exactly, bro. This lady showed up in like a moving truck. She had tons of furniture back there where she was on her way from wherever she lived in DFW. All the way to our house.
Just picking up
she
free shit.
She was stopping and picking up free shit and then coming and stopping. And that's what she was. That's what took her so long. It wasn't. She was telling us she was stuck in traffic. Bullshit. She was over there picking up free shit to sell.
That's crazy.
So I was like,
dude.
Well, here it is. Yeah.
And made $100 off of it. Shit.
Probably, bro. Probably made $100. She showed that shit to somebody. That's crazy.
Real quick, man. What was your worst job?
My worst job was when I was just graduated high school. I needed to find a job. And so I looked in the newspaper and there was a job like such and such an hour, Monday through Friday, weekends off, 8 to 5. So I was like, all right, that looks kind of promising. So I applied for it and I talked to a guy on the phone and I think he interviewed me over the phone. And I was like, all right, cool. He's like, well, come in. You give me the address.
I already know where you're going.
The address was like, on like the east side of Lubbock, like Avenue whatever, probably like Avenue X or some shit, like in the warehouse area. And I go in there and I'm all dressed up, all nice, you know, got my best outfit from school on and shit. And like,
hello,
the guy's
sucker.
Like, okay, you ready?
Hello, sucker.
Yeah, he's like, hey, how's it going? He's like, you ready? And I was like, yeah. What are we doing? He's like, we're gonna drive to Plainview and we're gonna sell these children's books. I saw children's books. He's like, yeah. I was like, who are we selling them to? And he's like, we're just going to walk around Plainview. So I spent a whole day walking around Plainview trying to sell fucking children's books to anybody, to anyone. Anybody. I walked that whole little town for most of it. And I was so pissed off because he really didn't explain what we were doing until we almost got there. And I went with him. You got and to, so I couldn't like just leave.
You got to I couldn't my get house in my car and just leave. All pissed. I was like, how's your new job? Pissed. You're like, man, fuck that job, man. I'm all walking in the hot sun. Fuck that job.
You're I was all dressed up. Nice. No, I had... trying to sell children's book to some pedophiles. Like, come on. Yeah, that was horrific. That guy called me the next day. He's like, hey, you coming in? I was like, hell no. I was like, I'm not coming in, bro. You should pay me for the wasted time that just even thinking about it.
You got there like, hey, good to meet you, sucker. I mean, sir.
Right. I'm sorry, I didn't get that. What'd you say?
Oh, shit, man.
Yeah, that was by far the worst job that I ever had or ever
had. Oh, dude, that's funny, bro.
Good stuff, man.
But you have any shout-outs you want to... shout that out.
I'd like to shout out my wife, my beautiful wife, and her, you know, her business she has going on right now. It's at Raindrops Tees and Tanks.
Yeah, I've got some shirts on order from her, man. She sent me back some designs that I was fucking real happy with. Like, fuck yeah.
Nice. Yeah, she's really like really really into that, and she's I think that's what she does, and that's probably why I got onto her ass on Friday, because she was probably in here like looking at different designs, and I'm over here being an asshole, saying, hey, where are we going to go to the store? She's already trying to make us money.
We need fucking Fruit Loops. Fuck.
I'm out of Van Pons. I need some deodorant. But, yeah, I just want to shout out her and her business. And she has, like, her own little, you know, if you go to her page, she has already, like, pre-made, you know, t-shirts there to look at, or she could also take, you know, design requests.
On IG, it's Raindrops Tees, right?
Yeah. And then her website is raindropsteestanks.com. So it's RAINEDROPSTEESTANKS.com. I know that's long, but.
No, yeah. No, it's all good. Yeah, man, and her stuff that's already made is some good shit for all you women that
are
looking for some motivational quote t-shirts for your new gym attire. They're legit. They really are. Chris, man.
Yeah, and the quality of the t-shirts are pretty good, too. They're not like the, you know, the old school, like.
They're not all Kanye West t-shirt. Fucking gilding.
Yeah, these are they're really comfortable.
Like, hold on, Kanye, I thought you had Yeezy. What the fuck is this gilding t-shirt? What the fuck?
Where the hell did you find this at? The back of a Bayless?
Yeah, a bunch good of stuff, I don't know if you heard that, but a bunch of people off of his like new Yeezy drop, whatever fucking clothing line, whatever his clothing line is called, Yeezus or whatever. They received the t-shirts and shit, and the tags had gilding on them.
That's messed up, dude.
Yeah, like, what the fuck?
That just goes to show, like, just wear whatever, like oh, forget, like, yeah, the yeah. brand wear, and all that shit.
No. Wear whatever, but also goes to show that these elite motherfuckers don't care about you. Like, you're dumb to think that they care about you.
Not one iota. They could care less what the hell you... Just pay on their money.
But I want to shout
you out. But yeah, man,
I want to shout you out, bro. Dude, we were so tight. Like I said, man, we spent every fucking day together growing up and, you know, work and being adults. Like, we don't kick it and we don't see each other as often as we should. But when we do, like, link up on the phone or even seeing each other, it's like we never fucking lost any time between.
So, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, man, I appreciate that, bro.
I love you to death, bro.
I love you too, man. Your friendship, you know, has meant so much to me, you know, throughout the years and all the experiences we both have had. And everything, it's been awesome, and I honestly feel like extremely blessed to, you know you and have you as one of my best friends. And
fuck yeah, bro.
You know, I wish nothing but the best for you and what you're doing, and your podcast, and just seeing what you're doing, and like I listened to your podcast this past Wednesday with the guys from Jimenez Bakery.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I can just tell like how much more you're improving in your podcast. And how I can foresee it, you know, being big.
No,
like outside of Love Big, you know, like really big to a point to where, you know, you can make this like one of your main sources of income, and you're not always having to, you know, bust your ass at this other place and, you know, wasting, you know, precious time, you know, away from your wife and your son and stuff like that. So
what you just said is fucking gold to me, bro. It really is, man, because your opinion matters to me. And for you to say that, like, I don't take that lightly at all, man. I appreciate those words, man. I really do.
Yeah, man, of course. They come from the heart, and you know, I'll always be here for you regardless of, you know, whatever you do, whatever decisions you make in life. And I'm hoping nothing but the best for you, brother.
No, man, I appreciate that, man. And when you said I can call you, without saying a certain girl's name, but this was an ex upon ex upon ex that called you at like 4 a.m. randomly to tell you how crazy I was acting. And you gave a fuck. Like, you're like, oh, cool. And then the next day you're like, why the fuck's this bitch calling me at like 4 a.m? You were like, yeah, JP's crazy. See you later.
Gotta go, bye. I remember that, dude.
And then the next day, you were so mad at me. You were like, bro, why the fuck is this bitch calling me at like 4 a.m? I was like, I don't know.
In trouble.
Like, I don't know, bro. Like, maybe you were the last person she called. She called everybody. I guess. Like, I don't know.
JP's crazy. Yes, I know this. I shared a bed with him before. I know this. We've shared beds together. I know this. Oh, you remember that sleeping foot to toe?
Oh.
Sleeping foot to toe. Dude, I remember the first time I stayed at your house. I know we got to go, but just a little quick little story there. The first time I ever spent the night at your house was like one of the first times I ever stayed at anybody's house. So I was kind of, you know, not nervous, but it's like, well, what do I do if I need something?
Yeah.
So we're up late dicking around playing games or watching movies. Well, your ass passes out, and I'm like, oh, I'm getting kind of sleepy. But I didn't have a fucking blanket or anything. You had the coat in that motherfucker. So I'm all like grabbing your rug and covering myself with your rug on the floor. I'm like, this motherfucker ain't gonna leave me a blanket or nothing. You just passed the fuck out. And then I wake up in the morning, and I have like, gave me like a blanket, I guess, in the middle of the night. I guess I look cold, and you toss me a blanket or whatever. But I was like, shit. Oh, dude. I almost felt like I was a homeless person. I felt like I was homeless, sleeping in the street with nothing to cover me with.
Oh, dude. That's funny that you say that, because my son, when he had, when he still has fucking people sleeping over, but they pass out basically because they either pregame at the house or they get back from the club and drink until they drown. But when he was like having sleepovers and shit, my wife would go into the living room or wherever they were sleeping at like 3 or 4, and all of them are all frozen with no blankets or nothing.
So I feel their pain. 100% feel their pain.
My son's all covered. He took his blanket and pillow over there.
Took all their shit away. Use a rug. Hey, if y'all have some good rugs, they're really good for warmth.
That's fucking funny, bro. I wanted to ask you, though, man. Have you listened to that One for the Road podcast?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, I was going to suggest it to you, man, because I know that you're all 806 podcasts, and that's how you know, you got into the Pendejos and shit. And this One for the Road, man, I think they still live next door to John John, but that's how they met, because we were always partying at John John's house, and they're good people, man, but I think they're like 10 or 11 episodes in, and each episode's just better and better, bro.
Pretty good. Yeah. Okay, yeah, I'll give a listen and check that out. I usually, like, first thing I do is, like, wait on yours, and then everyone else under the John Eric Media, like, umbrella, there's, like, And you got me onto those. Before that, all I listened to was like true crime.
Yeah, you would tell me you'd listen to like single mom shit. They're all into like murder mysteries and shit. You're all listening to the same shit as single moms.
Right. Estrogen is building up.
True crime.
Too much estrogen. I need to go.
Murder mystery podcast.
It's like depressed. Got painting my fingernails black and shit, dude. Yeah, man. So
fucking emo.
Yeah, you put me on. Right. Appreciate the hookup there.
Oh man, dude, I love you to death, man. I want to shout out Patriot Paint and Construction, DJ Kipo, and Tigre Burrito. Hit them all up, man. Tigre Burrito, especially since your kids are out of school, go feed them early in the morning. Get some hot ass hot sauce in you. And DJ Kipo for all your DJing services. And Patriot Paint and Construction, once again, no job's too big, too small for them, so hit them up. And the whole John Eric Media, man. But once again, bro, thank you for fucking coming back on. I fucking love you, dude. Like,
always, man.
Always. This type of podcast is new to me, but I think we fucking hit a home run with it.
Oh, yeah. It was dope. Yeah,
fuck. But, man, till next time, brother. We'll fucking see y'all. And, read some books! Come on!
Even if I died a thousand deaths, when I resurrect, I'll still be meth. The gems will still be death. I'm here. Me and this microphone, we here. And ain't trying to hear nothing, cause we had it up to here. What? Lyrics have no dress code. Yeah. From KRS to Depeche Mode. Kid, I'm so cool, you catch cold. At the jump off, it's about to jump off. My niggas speak with their hands or the gun talk. Yo, RZA, we got the clan in the front and police at the door. Every exit is laced with C4. About to blow. Like trial, I'm past foul. MCs is like bitches and thongs, they ass out. But me, the M-E-T-H, the O-D, just too real. I can't be touched and can't feel the monotony in rap. Take a picture of my nutsack. Carbon copy that and see your crew of facts, motherfucker.
No one improve, Wu-Tang style. Turn it up loud, y'all done fucked up now.
Spit flame,
five mics,
beat game,
on sight,
bring the pain,
on nights,
off the chain.
Damn right.
Mr. Method Man for short, Mr. Map. The Callion.